I think people get so caught up on needing this one golden prompt that if I put this in, it will suddenly know my voice and my brand and it will create everything I ever need. That's not quite how it works, at least at this stage. Like, it can train you to use it. Like, ask it what prompt it needs.
Welcome to the AI for Creative Entrepreneurs podcast, where we guide you through the weird and oh so wonderful landscape of artificial intelligence. I'm Kira Hugg.
And I'm Rob Marsh. We are the founders of the Copywriter Club, and our goal is to help you stay ahead of the curve. We're going to show you how to use new AI tools to maximize your creativity, simplify your work and life, and reinvent your creative career so AI works for you and not against you.
So whether you're a copywriter, marketer, or creative professional of any kind, join us as we explore the intersection of AI, creativity, and career. Okay, we know generative AI is good, but can tools like ChatGPT capture a unique brand personality? TBD. In today's episode of the AI for Creative Entrepreneurs podcast, we're joined by Amy Williamson, a brand and messaging strategist who shared how ChatGPT helped reignite her creativity after feeling burnt out post-pandemic. We cover how Amy uses this tool as a shortcut to help define her brand personality and voice of customer for her clients. And we even share some specific project examples from Amy's own business. We also dig into how AI has inspired Amy to prepare her kids for their future by nurturing creativity, which definitely gave me an idea or two I can borrow and use with my own kids.
But before we get to our interview, this podcast is sponsored by our new AI course, AI for Copywriters, Creatives, Content Writers. We call it AI for C. And what we've included with the course is everything that you need to get up to speed using ChatGPT and other AI tools in your business. It includes the 10 things that you need to know before you write a prompt so that what you get from an AI tool is not dreck, but it's actually usable copy, awesome ideas, or helpful research. We've included 5 lessons and modules to help you understand what generative AI is, what ChatGPT is, how they work, and the legal and ethical risks of using tools like this. There are more than a dozen lessons with demonstrations of various prompts and how to use them. We've included a prompt book with more than 109 different prompts that you can borrow, steal, rewrite, reuse any way you want in your own business. Because with these kinds of prompts, you're going to be ready to use AI to help your customers grow. And we're not just talking about one-line prompts. We've seen tons of lists like that online. These aren't like that. They are several lines, sometimes paragraphs long, to really dive into the information that you need to give to a tool like ChatGPT in order to make it work well. We've also included 29 different ways that you can use ChatGPT in your business. I'm pretty sure that this will spur an idea that you haven't thought of before. And we've included a toolkit with 100 different AI writing tools that you can try along with a prompt one pager that will sit next to you on your desk as you're working with these tools. That sounds like a lot of stuff. Let me just say, it's everything that you need to get up to speed. We've seen other courses that are priced $5, $6, $7, even $1,000. This isn't like that. We wanted to make it affordable. You can get started at thecopywriterclub.com/AI4C. That's number 4C. Or if you're watching on YouTube right now, there's a link down in the notes below.
All right, let's jump into our interview with Amy. So why don't we kick off with how you ended up getting into AI?
Okay, so it was actually fairly recently. I'd played around a little bit with ChatGPT when it was the 3.5 and used it a little bit, but I noticed there were a lot of limitations in terms of what it was coming up with. Like, I felt like I could do better on my own at that point. And then once 4 dropped, which wasn't that long ago, it changed everything. Like, I was seeing these use cases, seeing other people use it, like Joel Klepke. Like, he would just be messing around with stuff and posting stuff on Twitter. And it became really apparent really quickly how powerful this tool could be in terms of voice specifically. And that, like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like as a copywriter, voice is one of those things that can be really tricky to nail and to even define. Like, it can feel really vague and ambiguous. And something like GPT-4 and ChatGPT, really helps me specifically narrow in on that, get more specific, which means we can define it, we can replicate it. And that's what GPT-4 has done for me so far.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit more about that because, you know, I had the same experience, like playing around with ChatGPT 3, 3.5. I'm like, okay, this is fun. It's kind of clever. 4 changed the game for sure in accuracy and all kinds of other things. But let's like take this right down to the basics. And when we talk about doing brand voice with a tool like ChatGPT or any of the other AI tools that are out there, talk us through the process and like literally how we do it. Maybe even use some examples.
Yes, absolutely. So for me, it depends whether the brand, so if I'm working for a brand, whether they have an established voice or we're building something from scratch. If they have an established voice that they are happy with and they're wanting to just replicate, it's as simple as like feeding those examples into ChatGPT, asking it based on those examples, how would it define the voice? And then you can kind of use that. Like you're asking it, what does this voice sound like to you? And therefore, you can use that to feed it back to ChatGPT and say, can you remember that voice as, give it a name. So I'll tell it, can you remember that as the damn right voice? And then I can go back in and say, in the damn right voice, which is my own one, can you write XYZ? So that's the easiest way when there's already like examples that they're wanting to have a consistent tone based on those. When we're starting from scratch, we have to go right back to like the brand personality, the audience, all of that actual strategy. I find that voice often comes out of the personality. It makes most sense, right? The brand personality is going to influence the voice and maybe also the audience, like what's going to resonate with the audience. It could also be tied to like the brand owner's natural speaking style or writing style. You know, I had one recently where this brand had an established voice, but I think in the past, I probably would have tried to shoehorn them into what is quote unquote right in terms of copy. I would have been like, remove all the flowery language. Like they love these really uncommon adverbs. That's what they naturally gravitate to. And they've built a successful brand based on that voice. So instead of me coming in and saying, no, 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 this is all wrong. We need to do it this way. It was about actually defining that and putting that into like a voice guide where not only can they replicate it, whether it's them or ChatGPT or another writer, but it's also making it okay for them to do that. So in terms of specifics for this particular client, they actually make these like feral 3D wicker bags. So they've got like bags that are shaped like giraffes and unicorns and flamingos and like very absurd brand. And as part of their project, just as a little extra, they'd asked when we were going through like the web copy and everything, they put these little bingo cards in their packaging. And they wanted to put like a Kate Spade style one-liner, like a little affirmation on the other side of it. But obviously in their brand voice, like the Kate Spade tone is very specific. It's very upbeat, affirmational type stuff. Like it'll be like, be you, like she leaves a trail of glitter wherever she goes. That's the style. And so I said, yeah, cool. We can do this as an add-on. Like, yeah, I can handle that. No problem. And then I just drew a blank. Like I was just like, I've got nothing. So open up ChatGPT and I just asked it literally for some Kate Spade style affirmation, one-liner type things in, and I think I said absurd / weird voice. And it instantly spit out so many, like I didn't even get, and we can get into how you want to get really specific with your prompts, but this was a relatively broad prompt. It knew the Kate Spade style. It knew what words to bring in that were the right level of weird and absurd. And then I went on to kind of go, okay, well, based on the format of this particular affirmation, can you give me examples of that? I reckon I got 50 plus, not all usable, but from that, there was like 5 or 6 that the brand owner loved and will be using. I don't think I could have done that on my own. I could have, but it would have been like days of banging my head against a wall and going down rabbit holes. Does that answer the question? I feel like I've gone off on a tangent.
Yeah, I think it does. You know, when we talk about using these tools to achieve a particular goal, one of the tricky things is actually getting good copy out of it. Like usually you have to rework it, rewrite it, but clearly if you give it the right prompts, the right commands, not just the instructions, but the content to process, that helps get us 85% of the way there.
Absolutely. And it's not just the writing. I think the power is also being able to work through your thinking on the strategy behind it. So for the personality, I can put in, this is the type of product, this is the audience, which of the 12 personality archetypes would best suit this brand? And we don't have to go ahead with those, but we can see what would feel consistent to that. And there's a whole thing about we can go the complete opposite as a point of difference, but just being able to think through that, it's almost like a sounding board in that sense. And then also like the editing side. So with those Kate Spade prompts, it meant if the first batch had come out and I was like, oh, it's not quite, like it kept using a lot of space galaxy themes. And I was like, that's not this brand. They do a lot of more animal stuff. And so I just said, try again, less space stuff, please. And it does it. It's like a shortcut to your own thinking, really. Like for me, it's a tool to aid in that, in the creative part, in the strategy part, and in the writing.
Maybe you can walk through this with me. And we're definitely getting in depth here, but this is really helpful. So I'm starting to work with a new client. You know, we haven't established a brand voice, definitely need to create that, but I'm not necessarily focused on that before writing launch copy. Can you just walk me through like how you would onboard a new client, where you weave the tools in, where you're on kickoff calls and interviews? What does that look like?
Yeah. So this is constantly evolving at this stage. I'm definitely still experimenting with how much I can lean on it. For me, I will still go through the kickoff transcript, the questionnaire and all of that and make my own notes. Like I want to do my own bit first.
Okay.
And then come to ChatGPT. And like I probably could shortcut that, but for me, I enjoy doing that. I want to have some ideas already bubbling up. I will then go to ChatGPT and give it things that I think are important. So whether it's the product type, the niche, the audience, whatever I think it needs at the very start. And from that, can it help me come up with a mission statement, with a vision statement? Can we narrow in or refine the values? Like often a client will know their brand or personal values, but can it help me fine tune those? And from there, obviously the personality. Also, voice of customer, like when you've got a giant database of like survey responses, being able to give it some of those and say, pull out the key themes, the sentiments. Like I get specific with it and say, which of Stephen Rice's 16 basic desires are showing up here? Because to me, being able to see the underlying motivations that are coming up in those survey responses or call transcripts, that's super helpful in terms of like the messaging and all of that that we're going to work on later. And so I kind of use it to work through my thinking on that.
And are you uploading a file? So with the survey results at this point, I know Rob and I were talking about this week that you can insert links. Sometimes it pulls accurate information, sometimes it doesn't. But how are you uploading survey results in customer interviews?
At the moment, still copying and paste. I test links every now and then, but yeah, it is a little hit or miss. I'm really looking forward to the time where it can just have internet access, if that ever comes. I probably also need to play around a bit more with the plugins to see if that's possible. But to think about a time where it could automatically scrape reviews for us, do the review mining. Obviously, we would need to solve for like the quality if it's scraping a lot, and then analyze those. Like if you have to point it to a specific product page, and then it could give you a summary, it could give you in-depth analysis, and you've got that to work from. Like that would save so much time.
Yeah, as I think about things that I want ChatGPT to do, you can upload some of that stuff and then ask for it to do a sentiment analysis, which is incredibly helpful if you've ever, you know, poured through customer comments in a spreadsheet. But right now the limits, even on a paid account, you know, they say that there's the upper limit. It's never the amount that they say. It's always significantly less. And it's a little frustrating sometimes. But we're still, I mean, we're a month in, right? You know, it's only been around for 4 to 6 weeks. So give it a few months and who knows how powerful this thing will be.
Exactly. It's just a baby. I think that was also what got me so excited about GPT-4's release was like, we're early days. This is only going to get better.
Yeah.
If we take it back to voice, it's not consistent. It can't always replicate. It might throw in a word that doesn't feel right, but I don't think a lot of writers are consistent either. And I say that of myself. Like, I think we tend to overestimate our human skill. Like you see all these examples, particularly on Twitter, it'll kind of be like a gotcha moment of like, I gave it this prompt and look what it created and it's terrible. And you look at the prompt, it's like, well, of course it's terrible. You didn't even specify voice at all. So of course it's defaulted to its generic internet voice. It's trained on the internet. Of course its voice is going to be generic by default. You didn't give it any context at all. And you're saying, oh, I can write better. Here's my example. I wrote better. Of course you did. But you also probably edited it multiple times. You knew your voice already. I see all of these examples of how it's not that great. And I don't buy into it.
I agree 100%. In fact, if you gave the same prompt, those gotcha prompts to a writer and the writer sat down to try to write it, our natural response would be, wait a second, I need to know this and this and this before I can even get started. But if we did ignore all that and said, okay, here's what I've got, I guarantee we would not produce much better than what the model is able to produce.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. You couldn't expect a human to write as well without further research or context. Why are you expecting that of a chatbot?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
So as we're talking about this, then using this on client projects, do you have a conversation with your clients and talk about, this is a tool I use, some of the content that I'm providing you is generated by ChatGPT. Like, what does that conversation look like? Or is it just in the background and you polish things and hand it off?
So far, it's just been in the background. I don't work on a lot of client work. I tend to be a one client at a time person. So I haven't had enough come through yet to refine that. I'm looking at how I have that conversation up front. Like, this is, for me going forward, it's not going to be my point of difference, but it's going to be something that is part of my brand and my marketing. And like, obviously how I need to message around that in terms of how this is helpful to them. At the end of the day, I will take the risk that if using AI is not getting the result that's good enough for the client, I will rewrite from scratch. Like, I'm not putting the risk on them. And that's kind of where I'm at the moment. And then also, like, there's this push and pull of, can it help you do it faster? And therefore, should you be charging less? For me, I haven't noticed that it's actually sped anything up. Yeah, I don't think I'm saving that much time yet. That might come down the track. And at the end of the day, as both of you know, we don't charge based on time. We charge based on the result. And if the quality is there, and I think using AI to help with my thinking and the strategy and the copy and the voice is going to get a better result in the end. So I don't think it's a need of like having to charge less for it. I don't think it's less valuable. Obviously, the elephant in the room is the legal side of it, like the copyright side. I'm generally not copying and pasting straight into a copy doc. It's still having my touch on it. I'm still editing stuff. So it's not straight from OpenAI. It's kind of I think it's a watch this space situation with the legalities. Yeah, we'll wait and see.
I wonder what both of you think about just the concern, even as we're talking through this, and how amazing ChatGPT 4 is and how it's just going to get better. And just like, it keeps triggering the idea of, well, if it can already do this type of work and do it so well, then when will we still be needed? And I know that's the biggest concern for so many writers is like, will we be obsolete? That question pops up frequently. I think this is really exciting. I see all the benefits from using it and from talking to people about it. But that idea still continues to pop up. Just, are we removing our jobs by using some of these tools? So what do you think about that?
I also have those moments. I think I keep saying it's like equal parts fear and a fear of like what the future holds and where this is going, and then excitement about the capabilities and the tools themselves. I don't think we're going to do ourselves out of a job anytime soon, purely based on the limitations at the moment in terms of its memory. Like, we still need to drive it, and it still comes up with like confidently wrong stuff. The output can still be very wrong and it can be very sure about it. So at the moment, that accuracy issue means we still need to be there, both driving it and then checking the output. Long term, I don't know. And this is something I think about in terms of my kids. There's no way for us to know what the job market or civilization almost, I know that sounds a bit broad, but like, what society are they going to be entering? You know, I've got an 8-year-old. What's it going to look like when he finishes school? I don't know how to actually prepare them for the future. I don't think we can know. For me, it's this tiniest thing, but I'm focusing on both encouraging and praising creativity, because I think that's still...
Yeah.
You know, that's always going to be a helpful thing. Curiosity, creativity, giving things a try, being open to things like this. That's all I can do. Rather than rote learning of just remember all these facts and repeat them in a test, that's not going to help us, really. What do you think, Tom?
I think I've got a couple of competing thoughts about this. You know, I agree. It's a little bit like when the miners shifted from digging with shovels to digging with backhoes. We've got this incredibly powerful tool that for sure is going to displace some people, but it doesn't eliminate the work for a lot of people. I've heard experts talking about how even though we're sort of at the beginning of the LLM space, that it's actually from a computing power standpoint, we're sort of tapping out as well. And it could be a decade before the next real advances happen. So I don't know that I have the programming or AI experience to say whether that's true or not, but I have read people saying something similar. To me, though, points to something that you said earlier, Amy, where you said you'd like to start with your own ideas first. To me, there's a real danger here that a whole generation of people are going to grow up or in business, they're going to learn how to use these tools and they will get good enough results that'll keep half of our clients perfectly happy with those boring, not great results because it's just content. But that presents an opportunity for people who either learn how to use the tools better or who can bring humanness on top of that and create something that's really different, something that people value because it is human made, it's emotional, it connects people one to one instead of being sort of that base level of content. So there's a lot of different paths that I can see this going in, and I don't know how to predict which one is right. What I would just say is I'm not ready to stop being a copywriter. So I'm just going to learn how to use the backhoe for a while and we'll see what happens.
That's it, right?
Where do you get off, Kira? Like, where do you land in there?
I think it's where, I mean, it's probably why we're all having this conversation. It's the excitement keeps me going, the excitement and curiosity. So I love that you're teaching your children that because I think that's what will allow them to be adaptable in the future. And so that's a good reminder. And many of the guests we've already interviewed on the show, it's like they have that, you know, growth mindset, they're adaptable, they understand that it will continue to change. So I think that to me is exciting. That's how I want to live, period. But I do think it's the idea of curation and just being a really good curator, not only a strategist, but the way you talk about, Amy, it's like, okay, I have 100 different one-liners that will go on the back of the card, like Kate Spade style. And my job is to curate and to go through every single one to see which one's the best fit. And maybe that's the role we can play, which is not a bad role. I like the idea of being a curator.
Yeah.
Copywriter and curator and strategist. Just keep adding the titles.
Everything, and all the things.
That's a really good point, Kira, because with these tools, we're able to generate so much more content than we ever could on our own, that a big part of the job is going to be understanding, what if this is good? What if it can persuade? If it's not persuasive, how do we make it persuasive? You know, whether we use the AI tool to do that or we add it on, we still need people with the skill set, regardless of what the tool is that's creating the thing.
That's true. And I keep thinking about clients, right? So if Amy, you're doing this, could our clients also use these tools? I know there's a whole idea of, well, they're busy, they're running their businesses, they want to outsource it to experts. But if we are the curator, then we can see what will work from our industry knowledge and from our research and from our insights. And they may not be able to see that. So that means we're still in business.
We're still relevant for now.
For now, for maybe 10 more years.
And that's just it. As copywriters, we come with this wealth of knowledge and experience generally. I think even new copywriters, like, they're so thirsty to learn everything about copy and marketing and psychology. And it's using that, using what we know and what we're interested in to help clients. I also think we're going to see even more generic or even passable content out there and copy out there that's good, but it's created by what is basically a word calculator. You know, GPT, it's just a word calculator. It's just predicting what you want to hear based on your prompt, on your input. And so if it's predictable, we need to look at how we can be less predictable, really, in our content, in our voice, in what we do, not to the point where it's like chaos, but like strategically, how can we pick a word, like throw one word in there that's on brand and just isn't what an AI chatbot came up with, really. And I kind of am on the fence in terms of, I definitely saw the writing on the wall with, I started seeing copywriters mentioning losing contracts to ChatGPT. And that was the moment where I was like, oh no, this is real. And particularly, I think I've seen a few examples in the tech and SaaS space of people letting go a lot of their writing teams and that sort of thing. We can sit here and talk about how we can do better. We can write stuff that is focused on conversion, that whatever it is. But unless our particular clients understand that, like it's our job to make them understand the difference or to give them enough time and space to fail with it and then come back to us and go, hang on, that didn't work quite the way I thought it would. And I think it's going to have to be fail in terms of actually put that content out, whether in whatever format that is, and maybe their leads drop or maybe their sales drop or whatever it is, or it just doesn't get a good response or engagement drops. And giving them that space to fail, and then they may come back and go, actually, like, even if you're going to use AI, I know you can get better results from it. I do need you. I think there's going to be a percentage of potential clients that just will never get that. They will be happily chugging along with their very average content and copy, and so be it. So we just need to look at how we adapt. And I say I sit on the fence in terms of I'm actually really excited about being able to teach small business owners particularly who may not have the resources, the time, the funds to hire me or another copywriter, teaching them to use it to write better copy. Yeah, so that's where my head is at, and I don't know if I am doing myself out of a job. But at leveling of the playing field for me, that gets me really excited as well.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think there's certain business owners that are going to play around with it. They're going to either see that it's good enough and use it, and the other risks that are out there that we haven't even settled yet, like copyright law and whether you know ChatGPT generated content is even ownable at all, which right now in the US it's not. There's all kinds of things that we'll have to settle with, whether the search engines identify it as AI generated. Obviously, there are tools that are figuring that out, other tools that are trying to hide it. So like all of this stuff has to play out. And I think that by understanding the tools, ChatGPT, Writer, WriteTune, Phrase, all of the tools that are out there, well, we can't understand all of them because there's hundreds of them, but that set that works for me in my process or works for you in your process, by understanding that stuff, we can kind of stay up above that tide and we can take care of the clients in a way that serves them. And we still are allowed to bring them value and help them reach their business goals.
Absolutely. For me, what choice do we have?
or let's give up and go get a job at Starbucks.
Yeah, I'm going to just start a hobby farm. And I actually don't know how I'll pay for my life at that point.
So, yeah, and I like the idea of letting clients fail, even though it sounds cruel, but I think you're right, because if there's some failure, then when they do get back in and they look for the next copywriter or marketer, they're going to look for someone who has that expertise and will help them. And so that's where our positioning matters, and how we're giving ourselves titles and what we're leaning into makes a difference. So how are you thinking about your own positioning, Amy, at this point? Like, I know on your Instagram feed, you talk about ChatGPT. You've been talking about voice for a while, but how do you think about that today and in the future?
It's still up in the air. It's something that I think about a lot at the moment in terms of, how to position myself. I haven't added AI to my title yet. And I'm also mindful that I don't think it's going to be a differentiator for long. But I don't, neither's the word copywriter. So I don't know if that's
particularly conversion copywriter, yes. Or even brand voice strategist, right? It's like we all have that title now. Yeah.
And it's kind of like all the things. I'm just all the things to do with words and brand. Okay. But yeah, I don't have a definite answer yet, but it is something I'm thinking about in terms of how do I position myself? Yeah. I don't even know if we can have an answer long-term. I think things are changing so quickly. And I'm hopeful, Rob, when you said that hopefully, like, based on computing power, then we might get a little bit of a break to catch up as a society, let alone as an individual. But yeah, as I said, I'm hesitant to put AI in my title yet, but it's something that I need to make more prevalent in the conversations that I'm having, both with like leads and just online as well.
So when we started the conversation, we jumped right into, Amy's using ChatGPT. This is how she's doing it in her business. But we didn't really catch up on like how you got to where you are in your business. I mean, you've done a ton of things in your business, Amy, as you've evolved it. And I'm imagining these tools could help with all kinds of stuff. But we just tell us a little bit about that career path so that we can, get caught up to where you are and how AI is playing a part today that maybe it wasn't 5 years ago.
Absolutely. So I've been in business since 2016. So what's that? 6 years, coming up on 7 years. And to start off with, that was a time where Instagram wasn't as saturated, particularly with copywriters, because I think there were so many that were scared of a visual platform. And so it was really easy for me to build an Instagram following back then, got me a lot of work. I mainly served small businesses, a lot of product-based, some service-based in the Australian market. I've kind of gone down a few different little rabbit holes in terms of niching. I went down email and e-com, and then kind of got to the point where I was like, I'm actually missing out on stuff that I enjoy doing in terms of writing for service providers and online course creators, that sort of thing. So I've kind of like unniched in that sense. And for me, it's about now it's more of a vibe check. They are often small business owners. I get some that are literally just starting, brand new businesses who want to get it right from the start. I've had ones who are stocked in supermarkets. My copy, it's so good to be able to walk into our local Coles shopping center, like our supermarket, and be able to see something I wrote on like hair care packaging. So I've kind of gone down a few different little rabbit holes to figure out what I didn't like doing. For me, email, I can still do it. I still write emails for clients all the time. But particularly like e-commerce email, where a lot of the focus was just on metrics. And in e-com, the bar is so low in terms of the email copy. It's kind of, you can be quite lazy about it. And that's not to, like, I know many brilliant email specialists, particularly in the e-com space. But I realized very quickly that I wasn't interested in the implementation. I don't want to be sitting in Klaviyo building out flows. There wasn't enough value on the messaging side or the copy side or the brand, even the brand voice side, for me to actually enjoy my work. And so, yeah, I kind of unleashed a little, which has been good because now I get clients from across the board. Did I answer the last part of the question? I feel like I got off track there.
No, I think that's good because we can kind of see how your career has developed. And, you know, as you look back, let's say that AI had been available, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, how would that have changed the work?
Oh,
that would have been nice, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The amount of time saved. If it had been available 5 or 6 years ago, I think it would have sped everything up. So for me, to be really honest, you know, I had a baby during the pandemic and I'm coming off of probably 2 years of, I reflect on it and I'm like, I think I was burnt out, but I didn't know it at the time. I just had no creative spark left. I didn't have the energy. I didn't have anything left to say, really. I felt like I would sit down to write an email or write a social post and I was just like, I don't have anything to share and therefore I just won't share anything. And for me, ChatGPT has come at like just the perfect time in terms of my son's now 2.5-ish, nearly 3. I have the mental space. We're far enough removed from, like, I know the pandemic, I don't think we'll ever call it over, but it's not all encompassing. Like, we had severe lockdowns here in Melbourne. Like, it was just a year of having everyone in a house and a baby. And yeah, so for me, that's, at least that part's gone. You know, there's some level of normalcy. My kid goes to school. My other one goes to childcare. My husband leaves the house and I get that time and space to actually think. And so then ChatGPT comes along and I was just like, oh, here's something I can talk about that I'm interested in that has sparked my creativity and curiosity again. And the timing's just perfect for me. So yeah, I don't know what would have happened if that happened last time. Because I did have a 1-year-old at the time, so I don't know if I would have been in a similar headspace. But for me, the timing has just been perfect in terms of reigniting my creativity and my curiosity again.
I want to go back to how you're working with Brand Voice, because as I'm working with different tools too, I feel like with Brand Voice, it does feel tricky and I'm probably just doing something wrong, or it could be better when I'm trying to figure out a brand voice. So what tips do you have for adding a brand voice to ChatGPT to really nail it, other than like write in this actor's voice? Adding celebrities can help, but what else could we be doing other than saying write in a very sassy voice? You know, like, I feel like I'm doing all the cliche things and not really nailing it.
Yes. Okay. So a few thoughts here. The first one is it became really apparent to me very quickly with ChatGPT that the voice characteristic description words I was using, so sassy, bold, confident, were too vague. Before that, I would have thought, yeah, cool, I know what a bold voice is. But at the end of the day, a bold voice or a funny voice can look so different depending on the context. So when you say a funny voice, like if this brand has a funny or playful voice, what does that actually look like? Is it sarcastic? Is it witty? Is it a dry humor? Is it laugh out loud? You know, are they making asides? Like getting really deep, nitty gritty. Like if we look at like Justin Blackman and the way he teaches voice, I think that's fantastic. Can you like specify the sentence length? Can you specify the reading level? All of those things. And even then it will still sometimes go awry. And for me, it's like, oh, okay, I can see where it's going wrong and I can more easily pinpoint, oh, okay, that word's not correct. We would never use that word for this brand. And so I will just tell it, don't use that word in the future. And then with celebrities, I was testing out. So there's this ongoing joke in the Australian copywriting market where we all get asked to write in this very specific brand voice or two. There's GoTo Skincare and there's Frank Body, very well-known brands in Australia, very specific voices. And so GoTo is quite fun. It's quite relatable, friendly, like all these vague words that I would use to describe it. I actually went into ChatGPT and I said, what is the GoTo Skincare voice? Because there's enough content out there. I was like, I wonder if it even, like, do I have to train it or does it know? And it came back with like an in-depth analysis. I asked it for examples to back up its analysis and it does that. So it's not just celebrities. And I'm not saying we should be like ripping off another brand voice, but if a client is like, I like this voice because of XYZ, it's like, okay. Or even if they just come to you with an overarching, oh, I want to sound like GoTo Skincare, I can go to them and be like, okay, exactly what part? And what part fits your brand and your audience? Like what part can we replicate in a way that fits you and your brand without going a vague, like for Frank Body, they used to, I think they're moving away from it. They used to use the word babe a lot. And so I was like, well, so you just want me to end the sentence with babe all the time, which as a copywriter, you're like, oh, really? Yeah. So for me, it's really helpful in terms of diving deeper and realizing when I'm not being specific enough.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to combine brands. I mean, I just think about my intake form and how I have always asked clients, what brands do you relate to? What brands do you want to sound like? And I would take that information in. I wouldn't ignore it. But I didn't do a whole lot with that information. And now with ChatGPT, you could create a voice that is a combination of those different brands. And like that could get really interesting. So it's almost allowing us to do more with the information we've always had. But we kind of just like let it sit there, or maybe we felt like we were soaking it in, yeah. But I wasn't really applying it.
Well, even I know you're a fan as well of putting in pop culture references that suit the client, even asking it for those where it's like, okay, we're going to reference 90s movies. Give me some references. Give me some quotes from the movies. Like give me some of that language. Like maybe we're working in 90s pop culture, like Clueless type language in there, you know?
So Amy, as you think about this process, you know, there's maybe some ways to look at ChatGPT with the gotcha prompts. It's kind of like a vending machine. You know, I put in my prompt and I get out my thing. But it sounds to me like to really get this to work, it's more a conversation. It certainly has been in my experience. So what does that conversation look like? Like how many times are you going back and forth massaging before you get something that you're like, okay, this is something I can work with?
As many times as it takes. I will happily sit there and go back and forth as much as needed. But as I'm doing that, it's obviously about seeing where it's going wrong. Where can I get more specific? And the brilliant thing is, if I'm not sure, you can ask it. Like you can use it. I think people get so caught up on needing this one golden prompt that if I put this in, it will suddenly know my voice and my brand and it will create everything I ever need. That's not quite how it works, at least at this stage. Like it can train you to use it. Like ask it what prompt it needs. What specifics does it need? I've actually played around with what should I be telling you to figure out or to replicate a brand voice? What information do you need? What's helpful for you in a prompt? Yeah. I find that really helpful. Instead of going down a Google rabbit hole, I now go down ChatGPT rabbit holes where I'm like, okay, tell me all about this. Tell me what you want to know. Also, I find that asking it to back up its thoughts. So ask it for specific examples. We've talked about VOC data before. If it's saying that there's sentiments showing up, I will say also provide specific quotes that show where that sentiment's showing up, because that's handy for me to have, but it's also showing that it's accurate, particularly if I'm trying to get it from a link, like you are actually pulling it up and you're not making it up. But it's also, yeah, it's showing that it's accurate. I can see the thinking, and so I can cross-check it as well.
You talked a little bit about basically defining your brand voice and saying, here's this brand voice, call it, damn right. What does that look like? Do you need to do that in one note, or now with four, can we just save it and it's always in there?
So I don't think it'll always be in there. In the chat window, it will forget eventually, relatively quickly. But so what I've done is I have fed it some of my copy and I said, can you analyze this? This is just me playing around. Like, give me an analysis. And it brought out themes that I didn't actually know were in there that are there. And like, I consistently in there. I was like, oh, hang on. I can't even remember what it was, but it was a specific thing that I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. That is in there. So I asked it to do the analysis first. I then asked it to remember that as the damn right voice when asked. And then I would go on to test it out. I would be like, right, an Instagram caption in the damn right voice, and then give it. So I'm giving it context. It's an Instagram caption. This is the intended audience. Here are the key points I want you to cover. Because I find if I get too vague with what I want the post or the piece of content to be about, it starts to go off the rails. It defaults to a much more positive look at the world, particularly if you ask it about itself. Oh, it thinks it's great and it's only going to do good things. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is not exactly what I would say. So let's walk that back. Memory-wise, it will eventually forget. And so one of the tricks is to also ask it, in future, if I need to tell you to write in this voice again, how can I remind you of the voice? Mm. Like what? Yeah. What's a succinct and like description of this voice I can give you so you'll be able to replicate it? And so you've always got that on hand. If it starts to forget, you either open up a new chat window or in the same one, remind it, just say, this is the damn right voice. Now write in it, write this thing in it.
Yeah, that's actually a power user move. There's a prompt in the AI course that we put together that basically shows you how to do that. It's like, because you'll go through a chat where you're refining and you're giving several prompts.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you can basically say, okay, we got this great response. What would be the prompt that I would use to get this response in the future? You can save that and then use that over and over and over. You don't have to go through that whole process again.
And how accurate is that?
It won't always hit it quite right, but it's going to get you 80% of the way there.
Yeah, that's it. And I'll find that, yeah, it's those pesky little, it'll throw in a word that, it'll put the word like honey in. And I'm like, I would never say that.
I don't believe that.
Maybe you will eventually.
A very Amy Williamson word.
Yeah. Literally just my husband, to the point where my toddler started calling, he'd say, hun, to try and get my husband's attention.
That's great. So we've mostly talked about ChatGPT. Have you tried any other AI tools, or are there other tools that you're looking at and you're going, okay, I got to get into that more?
I've played around with a few of them, like Writer, Copy AI. I don't think I ever got into Jasper, which was just everywhere. There was another one. Oh, I'm going to forget the name of it. And it came out soon before GPT-4. I hadn't had a chance. I barely played around, but it was handy. It was more a document rather than a chat window. And so it was that sort of tool. I haven't found one that I'm happier with than just jumping into ChatGPT. Just in terms of, like, for me, I think they're basically, the tool itself seems to be giving the context. I want control of that. I want to be the one saying, this is the type of post, this is the audience, all of that stuff. For me, I think they're more of a UI thing where it's like, here's like cute little boxes you can put those contextual bits in, and then it's giving the prompt. I'm looking at trying to play around more with the API, the GPT API, because I've heard it has a longer memory span. Yeah, so that's where I'll be playing around next. I think in the API playground it is. And even then, so all I've done so far is go into that and say, tell me how to learn about you and how to, like, tell me what I need to know to use you to get the best. That's where I'm starting, letting it teach me. I think there are so many copy tools built on it. And I could be wrong. I'm not like the tech.
It's not. Like, I've found more than 100, and ooh, I'm sure I haven't even found all of them. So yeah, it's crazy how many there are.
If people are getting what they need out of it, cool, go for it. But for me, I'm like, I might as well just go straight to the source.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any other ways you've used ChatGPT in your life or even outside of business just to experiment?
I'm starting to experiment a little bit more with like personal development and reflective practice. So I did a little bit of reflective practice work with, I know you know Kirsty Fanton, and she was testing out this reflective practice club. And so she has this background as a psychologist and just has these wonderful little prompts that like get you to think deeper, to think differently, really encourage that like reflection. And so for me, I'm like, how can I start to use ChatGPT and AI to do that for myself without having to rely on someone else constantly? And even I actually had like this little, basically like a therapy reflection journal tool on my phone, like a little app called Thought Journal, I think it was. And it was basically, it is AI based, where you put in what's going on in your head and it will highlight, it teaches you about like, here is this cognitive bias showing up. Here's, you know, this is an example of black and white thinking and this is what black and white thinking is. And then it will give you a prompt to think about it a different way. Like it encourages you to explore. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity there. Like beyond, I hear all the like, I use it to meal plan. And that's great. Like all of those basics. For me, I'm like, how can I use it to get my head straight, basically?
Yeah, no, I love that use. I want to experiment with that too. That's great data collection too. The sources that you can gather.
Some definite privacy issues, though. I mean, if you're going to give up your deepest, darkest secrets into ChatGPT, who knows what happens to that information? So maybe I want to be a little bit careful. But I mean, I've seen some, like Socra is an AI app that's kind of meant to help question and ask you about different aspects, and it's kind of cool as well. So, but yeah, privacy issues, another crazy thing going on with AI.
And I don't think it's not going to replace human. Like psychologists or therapy at all, not totally, but much like with copywriting, it makes these things more accessible to more people, the people who generally wouldn't actually have access to that. And for me, I don't know, I've always, my dad used to joke when I was a teenager that I was like a bleeding heart lefty. And I think there was always this idea that it would kind of soften as I got older, as I hit like middle age, and it's only gotten stronger. And I look at AI and it could go two ways. It could really, without getting too deep into like political stuff, it could definitely go the extreme capitalist way where it is only going to widen the wealth gap and the inequality in the world.
Absolutely a risk, yeah.
Absolutely. And I think we're almost at a good time for it to pop up because there is so much instability. It is a very prevalent conversation. It is a scary time in the world. Like there's so much change potentially coming. And I'm holding on to this optimism that AI can be used to hopefully level the playing field. And yeah, if it can, I think we have to push for it.
Yeah. So that's a little bit on the maybe pushing towards the negative side. What's the most exciting?
I feel like that was positive.
I'm curious, like, what's the thing you're most excited about with AI, either in your business or something you're going to try out soon? What's the thing that you're really excited about?
Yes. Okay. First of all, I am just an enigma. I hold two things at once. I am both very positive and very pessimistic about AI. And I tend to live in like both things at once, the contrast.
Yeah. I'm very familiar with that. Excited and also dread.
The juxtaposition, as my high school literature teacher, she used to love that word juxtaposition. And so I would work in her language into the essays. And it got to the point where she actually read out one of my essays. Oh, I know. I was born for this. I literally just fed her thoughts and words back to her. And she read it out to the class because she was like, this is a brilliant essay. And I was like, okay, cool.
That's so good.
Embarrassing. But in terms of what I'm excited about next, apart from just playing with it and seeing what it can do and the advancements, I am really excited. I'm working towards being able to teach those small business owners how to use it for themselves. Like that for me, equipping them. I think there's plenty of people out there who can teach copywriters how to do that with that foundational level. And so I'm looking at how can I take a step back and teach the people who struggle to write for themselves. that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah. And that education is so important. Like you said earlier, you know, for us to teach as a group of communicators, copywriters, and this is our strong suit, like we are best suited to go out and to learn. We don't have to know everything, but to learn and start teaching and sharing with people who may not have the time to learn it or may just not feel as excited about it. And we know how to get people excited. That's our job. It's like teaching other copywriters, teaching other business owners, teaching professors, teaching all types of people in different sectors. I think that's, you know, if that's exciting, like that could be our mission.
That'll keep us going, hopefully.
We're like, let's just teach. I guess my last question, it might be too similar, but I just was wondering how these shifts and, you know, these changes with AI have changed how you view the future for your business. And I guess this partly, you know, is teaching. So maybe there's more of that now. But anything else where it changes the model, it changes the structure, the hopes and goals for you?
Yes. So at the moment, it's about what I can do right now. How can I use it right now to help other people? How can I start to use it more in my client work to get, once again, that better result? It's not about doing it faster. It's not about doing it cheaper. It's about how we can create better work with it. So I'm kind of looking at how can I, particularly like, so I will create a brand Bible, a brand guide, basically, that'll list everything about the brand, the voice, all of that. We go in depth. How can I start to format that, whether it's the actual guide itself or an add-on, that it's feedable into ChatGPT? So I had a client I did a mini one for recently, and as an offhand remark, because I think I created it just before GPT-4 came out, so I wasn't really focusing on that. And I just said, hey, if you're looking at playing around with ChatGPT at all, not sure if you're interested, but if you are, try feeding the voice description in and see what happens, or some of the brand parts in. And so for me, I'm looking at how can I create something that more seamlessly integrates with that, that it's like that is one of the big selling points of that brand guide, is you can use this to train AI to write your own content and your copy.
So Amy, if somebody wants to connect with you and check out what you're doing with the AI, what should they do? Where should they go?
Probably Instagram. That's still where I spend most of my time. So damn right, DAMMWRIT as in writing. Or damnright.com.au is my website, but Instagram's the best place to get me.
And awesome. Don't you have a guide? Don't you have a guide?
Oh, I do have a guide. It's called ChatGPT Unleashed, and it's a guide to getting the most out of ChatGPT.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Amy, for sharing how you're using it with Brand Voice and beyond. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, that was an awesome interview. Before we wrap, though, Kira, I'm curious, what kinds of takeaways do you have from this conversation?
Well, I liked how Amy noted that she is really taking the risk at this stage because the tool is still new and she's still experimenting with it. When she works with a client, she's really thinking, you know, the risk is on me, not the client. And if for some reason, you know, she didn't like the output or felt like it didn't match the deliverable that she needs to send to a client, she would just start over and start from scratch. And so that was just an interesting approach to thinking about how to use these tools, that, you know, we still take on the risk. It is simply a tool, but they are not hiring ChatGPT to write the copy. They're hiring you. And so that risk is always on you. At the end of the day, you're going to be the one staying up late at night to finish a project if you're not happy with the output from a tool like this.
Yeah. The thing that I love about it too is just the creativity, the way that Amy is bringing creativity into using the tool. But one thing that we've seen over and over as we've played with it ourselves, as we've talked with more people, is just the use of ChatGPT and other AI tools as a sounding board, as a way to sharpen your own thinking. And I think that's a phenomenal way to just play around with this thing and see and discover for ourselves the different ways to use it.
Yeah, and also for curation. I know we talked a little bit about that idea because ChatGPT will shoot out hundreds of messages, thousands of messages if you just keep pushing it. But you really need to curate. And as copywriters, that is now part of our job. I mean, it was always part of our job, but now it's even more important because anyone can use the tool, but not anyone can discern whether or not an idea is good enough, whether an idea is great. Whether message or copy is good, hitting the mark for that project, matching the brand voice or brand personality, matching the objective for that task and for the larger project. And so This conversation with Amy really helped me shift the way I'm going to look at my job as a copywriter on projects moving forward. I am now a curator as well as a copywriter.
Yeah, I think as we tell that story better, it's one thing to use a tool. It's another thing when somebody who knows how to use a tool uses it well in order to produce something amazing. You know, I can use a circular saw, but what I produce with my circular saw compared to what a craftsman can do, two totally different things. And the same is true with AI tools.
Yes. And we want to thank Amy for joining us on the podcast to talk about how she's used ChatGPT to reignite her creativity after feeling really burnt out and how she's used it to capture brand personality and voice for her clients. And once again, if you do want to jump in to our AI for Copywriters course/adventure, you can check it out at thecopywriterclub.com/AI4C.
And that's the end of this episode of AI for Creative Entrepreneurs, Copywriter Club podcast, produced by Brandon Burton. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please visit Apple Podcasts to leave a review of the show. Or if you're catching this on YouTube, leave a comment down below and let us know your favorite takeaway from this episode. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.